When I think of the blues, this song by George Thorogood always comes to mind.
Wide wonder at the joy they found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad.
So that's what I think of when I think of the blues. But I would guess that most of you will remember rather this song by Billy Hayes and Jay Johnson.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking.
Someone said to me, "Am I going to be depressed after this service?" Maybe. We are in the midst of what I think of as the holiday marathon. From Thanksgiving to New Year, we move from one thing to another in physical, spiritual, and an emotional sprint that can leave us feeling elated, exhausted, hopeful, and overwhelmed. As Unitarian Universalists, one might question why we celebrate these often problematic and usually messy religious and cultural holidays, and yet I feel strongly that each of these moments are opportunities to expand our understanding of gratitude, of hope, of light and dark, of the miraculous, of family and friends. My struggle with the holiday is not with gleaning the many spiritual messages of justice, worthiness, resilience, and balance, but with the expectation that we will be joyful all the time, that we will all be with our family and friends, and that we will all have a wonderful holiday filled with memories and moments, that the traditions are what makes the holiday so special, and that the hurting world, the hurting soul, must be shunted aside and hidden in the glare of the lights. In the Christian tradition, the Blue Christmas or Longest Night service is a time designated to acknowledge those people struggling with grief, isolation, or pain during the Advent season. It's a time where we are reminded that for some in our midst, the holidays are not joyful, are not full of hope and light. There are people in this room, sitting next to you, who are mourning, lonely, feeling alienated or cast aside from celebrations of family and friends. There are people in this room sitting next to you who are depressed, wrestling with PTSD, and yet feel compelled to smile, to laugh loudly, to go to elaborate lengths to pretend everything is okay. Today's service is about providing a container, a safe space for your anger, your sadness, your tears. As writer Isaac Dinesen expressed, the cure for anything is salt water, tears, sweat, the sea. Now, Blue Christmas is often celebrated on the 21st of December to mark the longest night of the year because Christian theology equates darkness with despair and hopelessness. We have been socialized to fear the dark, to see it as dangerous, an absence of God, evil. As a person of darkness, I find these metaphors diminishing of people of color. And so I have separated these two services. And I recognize that the blues we feel are not limited to one day, but can encompass an entire season, an entire year, an entire decade. Unitarian Universalist minister Earl Holt points out that Christmas is the promise that our emptiness will be filled and our deep darkness flooded with light. It's the promise that comes to people walking in depression, the sad, the weary, the hopeless. It is there for those who feel in their soul's journey they are like Mary and Joseph, wandering in a strange country far from home. It is there for the pain-filled and the troubled and lost. And yet for many, this holiday promise, this promise made by Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, the solstice, and Christmas goes unfulfilled year after year. We spend a great deal of time and effort during these 5 or 6 weeks celebrating the celebrations, and it is equally important to stop, to breathe, to look around, look within. Find and honor the grief, the loneliness, the anxiety, the despair made raw and present for so many at this time of year. As Deborah Falk's Litany of Comfort for Blue Christmas begins, all around us is bright lights and merry messages, yet in our heart not all is joyful. There is grief with loss of relationships. Those we love no longer with us because of death. Those we have loved who are now estranged from us. Those we love yet experience a diminishment of intimacy. And I would add, those we love who by choice or circumstance cannot be with us. One of the most difficult parts of the holidays is navigating our grief. Our society does not do well with grief, and I think this is especially true around the holidays. While it's okay to be sad for a while, to cry and be depressed for a few months, the discomfort and impatience of those around us are clear signals that we have had our moment and it's time to move on. I find this especially true around the holidays. There seems to be an expectation that we will put our grief on hold and be joyful when the reminders of all we have lost come into sharper relief as others around us gather in their wholeness with little patience for the time of anger, heartbreak, and devastation caused by unwrapping that special ornament that you bought for him and cannot bring yourself to hang on the tree. Or the sobbing that comes over you when someone says, "We will all be together this Christmas." Or those feelings of being so out of place amidst the happy people singing carols, drinking, and laughing. Chilean poet and politician Pablo Neruda writes, "On nights like this, I held her in my arms. I kissed her so many times under the infinite sky. How could I not have loved her large eyes? I can write the saddest poem of all tonight. To think I do not have her, to feel that I've lost her, to hear the immense relief. Sorry. The immense night, more immense without her. To hear the immense night, more immense without her. My heart looks for her, and she is not with me. We of that time are no longer the same. I love that line. We of that time are no longer the same. Loss changes you and changes the celebrations and traditions that once were, those holiday rituals and anchors, sometimes holding us steady in the midst of the inner storms of emotional turmoil, and sometimes dragging us under, drowning us in unnecessary feelings of obligation and guilt. One of our members, Kathy Bryan, sent me a very helpful link to a video by renowned grief expert David Kessler, which I'm happy to pass on to anyone who would like it. Kessler urges us that during the holidays, we need to be honest about our grief, to be authentic and not feel we have to be too happy or jolly. He suggests that rather than hiding grief, that we lift up the name of our beloved who has died and invite memories of him or her or them into our conversations, into our rituals. Kessler invites us to reevaluate those rituals and traditions that we hold to so tightly and let go, modify or create new ones that honor how we're feeling. He gives us permission to do only what we can do, to have a it'll do Christmas, or to cancel the holiday altogether if we need to. Kessler names that others won't get your grief, and that trying to convince them that the months or even years that have gone have not diminished the power of that loss is not worth the expended energy. Unitarian Universalist songwriter Shelley Jackson Denham, in her hymn Winter Nights, writes, "Drops of pain flow like rain. Tell why your tears are falling. For humankind so frail, unkind, or for your own life's calling. There are many things we may be grieving this season. I know it's been a challenge for me to even think about buying gifts when my conscience reminds me of those families, mostly women and children at our borders, waiting for a miracle that might never come, waiting for the compassion our president does not have, waiting for their humanity to be recognized and honored. And I think about all those people in California still searching for loved ones after weeks of not knowing, searching for hope that is not there, searching for a home, for basic shelter, for food and clothes. And I think about all the individuals and families in our community that are hungry, who are homeless, who are alone and will go without a tree, without presents, without visitors to share a word, a touch, or a laugh. One of my colleagues reminds us that Christmas and the holidays do not have to be like Norman Rockwell paintings. Few families are without brokenness, or at least a few cracks. As many of you know, I come from a large and very dysfunctional family. And holidays become a complicated negotiation of who goes where and for how long. The stress and tension and general discomfort of being together has led me to set boundaries about when I'll visit and how much time I will spend. For 15 of the past 17 Thanksgivings, Jay and I have spent them not with family, but with friends. This year, we have decided to take the holiday off from family completely. We will celebrate Christmas here with those of you who come to Christmas Eve to hear the many stories, sing songs of hope and miraculous births, watch the children and youth make the lanterns dance, and then pass the divine light through candle flame from one life to another. We will celebrate here where we help one another's souls feel their worth. I want to lift up that you may not feel blue all the time. As author C. Joy Bell C. wrote, there is some kind of all sweet innocence in being human, in not having to be just happy or sad, and in the nature of being able to be both broken and whole at the same time. We are all broken and whole, and the holiday season often lifts up this truth. So, in the midst of laughter and celebration, if you experience, as grief expert David Kessler names them, love bursts or grief bursts, where you well up with grief and love, and the tears fall freely, it is normal. If you are with a group of people having a good time and all of a sudden you have to leave the room or the party because you need to be in a different emotional or physical space, it's okay. It's okay to cry in the midst of singing, in the middle of wrapping presents, when you open your mouth to express gratitude. It's okay. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. Be gentle with yourself. You do not have to pretend. You do not have to hide. You do not have to even explain. If you are lonely, I beg you to reach out now. Try as we might, we cannot go to sleep on the fourth Sunday in November and wake up January 2nd unscathed. So I encourage you all to take care of yourself. Try not to stuff what you are feeling with food and drink. Take a walk if you can. Work out if you can. Spend time with people who may not understand but are comfortable with you being where you are. Take time out when you need. Rest. If you can afford to, get a massage. Be good to you. Let us embrace this season of darkness as a time of healing as well as hope, a time of learning how to breathe fully as we can, wrapped in the blanket of night. Let us let our tears of anger, of sadness, of disappointment, of joy and love be released so that our hearts can become lighter and perhaps find a connection with the birth of a new day.